Appreciate it all, don't y'all? Good to be in the house of the Lord coming out on Memorial Day. It's a day of memories, times that we look back and remember things of our past. And a lot of times these memories are what strengthen us and brings us on and keeps us in place and keeps us serving Almighty God. Good to be here today. Good number come out today. Kind of what did Jake say about this many? Hey, man, that's good, you know, just about this many. And that's good, I guess, good description. That's my son. Now, he may be a little bit warped in some ways, but I'm proud of him. Amen. Amen. He's faithful to the house of God and faithful to the Lord. You know, I guess I don't say that enough, but I appreciate him and the stand he makes. Good to see everybody come. We're going to just worship and praise the Lord. Can you feel it? Amen. Do you feel the power of God just flowing all through the church? You know, isn't that good? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? And you come down to the house of God to worship and praise Him, and He blesses you, just pours out the Spirit. It's going to be a 3 or 4 Kleenex day, ain't it? Already has been for some of us. Well, good to see everybody come this way, and we are going to talk about memories. And, you know, with memories, we have good and we have bad. You know, it could go both ways. And I'd like for us today just to focus on the good a little while, wouldn't y'all? Focus on the good things. And I'm going to be kind of like my son Jake. I hope that when we leave this congregation, this meeting today, that we leave here a little bit better Christians, you know. If we don't gain but about an inch, you know, that'd be satisfactory to God. But He wants us to be a people that are gaining in strength and power and godliness each and every day. And I preach that from the pulpit, that by the Word of God, you know, comes faith. And through that, we're strengthened. We could step up and do a little more and be encouragement to somebody else maybe today on a Memorial Day. All this talk about mothers and remembers and husbands and friends and the memories that it brings us to on Memorial Day is a wonderful thing. And I thought while Julia was talking a minute ago about her mother and the effect that her mother still has on her this day and this time. And Melvin and Greg and all the other brothers and sisters here, don't want to overlook any Alan. But I thought about how families and how parents, how mothers and fathers have an effect on children years and years down the road. I talk to people quite often, and I talk to them about the Lord and about doing service to God. And I've had several different occasions, I've had people tell me, well, it's my life, and it don't matter to anybody else. Well, I want to read scripture to you that says contrary to that. I'm talking about what you do and how you serve God not only affects you, but it will affect your children and their children and their children and their children's children. Amen. Goes 4 generations. Praise the Lord that what we do and how we treat God and how we reverence Him will not only affect our life, but also go to our children. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Y'all turn there with me and we'll read verse 39 and verse 40. Now, we're going to talk about things today, and as we go through this, I'm here to see an improvement in church. Amen. I've come praying and hoping for an improvement in church today. Now, to have improvement in church, you got to have improvement of the members. Amen. You know, that's what it'll be based on, that if we leave here an improved person, a better person in the eyes of God, then our church gains and improves, and that's what I'm after. I read a while back, and I was reading about the church being delivered up to God, spotless and blameless. Amen. Now, we've got a way to go, I'd say. But we've got time to work on it. We're here today to worship and praise Him. And you think about what effect you have on your children. If you won't do it for yourself, do it for your kids. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39. Know therefore this day and consider it in thy heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee. Now notice this, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee. If you won't do it for yourself, do it for your children. Amen. And I got thinking about that. It said that thou mayest prolong thy days upon earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. So a prolonged life. Hey, does anybody here want to die today? All right, praise the Lord. We hadn't got anybody on that page. And I got thinking about the long life that He promises because we followed His statute. Now, that gives us room to talk about improving Christian life this day and time. How many of you came this morning and think, I'm going to go into church service, we're going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to praise God, we're going to hear the scripture preached, and I'm going to go away better? I hope that this is the way you go away. A better person in the eyes of God. A better person in your own being that you understand and realize, okay, I've made an improvement today. So we want to talk about today about forgiveness. Now we'd have to start with the forgiveness God had for each and every one of you through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He forgave you of everything. Amen. If you ask forgiveness, you got it from God. He promised in His Word. And I got thinking about the forgiveness side of things and how it could improve us, that if just one thing in our life today that we maybe held a grudge, or maybe we've kind of had a bitterness about for maybe years or days or months or whatever it might be, that if we would just forgive that today, we'd go away a better person, improved in the eyes of God. That we'd be more powerful. Jake talked about this morning the power of joy in our life. Without forgiveness, it's hard to have joy, isn't it? I'm telling you, that's a robber. Bitterness and anger, it's a robber in a lot of people's lives. I've come to preach the Word of God to you today. Let's look over New Testament. Just a few minutes, we're going to talk about prayer. And how God taught us to pray as His sons and daughters. In Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 5. I'll give you time to turn there. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Now, we encourage prayer. I believe you ought to pray about everything. Amen. I do. I think you ought to take time to petition and ask God about every decision you make in life. I heard a man tell me one time, well, I was praying about grocery shopping. I thought, that sounds a little bit funny. But on the other side of that, we ought to pray about everything. So talk about prayer just for a few minutes. I'm talking about improvement in the church. I'm talking about improvement in our personal lives. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. And I got thinking, what a sad thing that was, if you're praying that somebody else might hear it or to impress somebody. You've got your reward. You know, my mama told me one time, she'd called on me to prayer at some occasion. I don't remember what it was. And after prayer, she looked at me and she said, oh, that was a beautiful prayer. And I thought, that's the only reward I'm going to get out of it. You know, it's what she is saying. And so it's teaching us about prayer in verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father that which is in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee open. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. And I read this last night and I got thinking about times of my prayer life, you know. And we're going to get to the point of forgiveness in a few minutes. Have you ever had a bitterness against somebody? Have you ever had just a little bit of a problem, you know, with what they've done or what they've said? And then you get down trying to pray to God and you're trying to pray around this thing. Any of y'all have to pray around these problems? Y'all, I'm not going to tell God about that. I'm going to keep that unto myself. And I got thinking about God already knows these things. You know, God already knows what's on her heart and what's in her mind. And it's hard to pray around a problem, isn't it? Y'all ain't never had that problem. God, forgive me. I'm the only one here guilty. But I'm guilty of these things. You know, maybe somebody's fuzzed me up during the day. And you think, our pastor gets fuzzed up. You got that right. I get mad enough to spit every now and then. And it's better to spit and not say nothing. Amen. You know, just spit. Go ahead and spit. Don't say nothing. Just go about your business. But I got thinking about trying to pray around a problem. You know, I knelt down the other day and took my prayer time. I thought, I've got so many things to petition God for. We had sick people in the church. I was praying Brother Luther and Sister Wanda and many others. It was on my mind and heart that day. And I'm down and I'm trying to pray for these sick folks in the church. I'm trying to pray for those that's grown cold and indifferent and left us. I'm trying to pray for them, and all of a sudden, you know, it comes to my mind, and nothing overwhelmed me more than what was in my mind about some kind of stiff words I'd had with somebody. Amen. And I found myself trying to pray around that and get over here to where I wanted to be. And it's hard to pray around a problem, isn't it? God already knew it. I finally just come clean. I finally just come clean with God. God, you know this already. I'm upset with so-and-so. I've got a problem. Help me forgive him. Just help me forgive him. He had said something that hurt me. Hurt my feelings. Y'all don't ever get that, do you? But anyway, I got thinking about, well, if I want to be successful in this prayer life, I can't pray around this problem. God already knows about it, you know. And so I might as well just confess this thing and be done with it. Confess sin is forgiving sin. And that was a sin because I was holding kind of a bitterness against that person, you know. And that's not what God would have us to be. And so that day I think I improved because I came true with God. Now, today you can improve by being true with God. Now, Jake said we had about that many here. I hope you improve this much. But if you'll improve this much, God will be pleased with you. I believe it's a process. I don't believe you can overcome it all in one day or one Sunday, but it's a process of learning to forgive, to forget the grudges, the things that's went in past years that we've had. And so he goes, Father, it said he knows what you need before you ask him. And people say, well, why pray? Y'all like to hear from your kids. I like to hear from my kids every day. Now, don't always, but I like to hear from them every day. Don't y'all? We're God's children. I believe he likes to hear from us. If no other reason you're praying is to let him know where you're at and you're okay, you know. In verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now notice this, and we're going to talk about forgiveness. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so we begin getting the indication here, Jesus teaching the apostles how to pray. And he said, I want you to forgive people. I want you to forgive people. He said, it's all hinges on this. He said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And I got thinking about all these things that we're not willing to forgive, God's not forgiving us either. And I thought about how it could be an improvement in our life if we one time come clean with God and say, God, if you'll help me, I'm going to forgive that I've held and I've set aside for all these years. You know, there's been bitterness that's eat me up. And when I got looking at this and thinking about the promise God gives, he said, if you'll forgive, I'll forgive you. And so if we went away today forgiven, we're going to be a little bit better Christian, right? Going to be just a little bit closer to God. And I got thinking about improvement in the church, how the church could improve if everybody forgave everything they held against each and every one. And I got thinking about how glorious day it would be and how God could truly bless us and show us forgiveness also when we start forgiving. I don't have much success praying around problems. It just don't work well for me at all. Now, you may can do it, but you'll have to deceive yourself in thinking that God don't know about that little problem. Oh, that's just a little problem, but God knows about these little problems. And we've tried to pray around this thing. Well, if I don't mention it, he won't say nothing either. But you're already condemned in your heart. Let's talk about forgiveness. Let's go over an Old Testament book of Genesis just for a few minutes. Genesis chapter 32. Leading up to this, you'll know that Jacob had deceived his brother, cheated him out of his birthright, and cheated him out of the blessing that was supposed to be going to Esau, but Jacob, through deceit and deception, had cheated him out of it. And because of that, he had to leave the country, had to leave his land where he lived. And he had spent some 20 years down with in a strange land, in a strange country. He was down with Laban, that was his father-in-law of two daughters. And he spent 20 years down there. And I got thinking about how long have we held and how long have we been separated from a land that we love to be in because of some hardship or problem with somebody. Now, this was just a dispute between two brothers. Amen. A dispute between Esau and Jacob. And this dispute cost him 20 years in a far country. Now, many of us get in a far country. Now, I'm talking about that's away from the joy, the pleasure, and the happiness that God plans for us to have. But many of us spent year after year after year out of that country, out of that promise of God because of some little conflict with maybe one person. This was two brothers, had a few words. Esau threatened the life of Jacob, and Jacob had to leave. 20 years, he's in a strange country. He don't get to be around his kinfolk. He don't get to be around his people because he's separated because of this deceit and deception that went on, and this bitterness and this harshness. And then after 20 years, God said, now it's time you go back. God said, now I want you to go back to your own land. And I got praying this morning that somebody here might go back to their own land. I'm talking about that place of happiness and joy and peace with your family and with your friend and with your neighbor, that you might go back to that land that you had left and been separated for so long. And when God told Jacob, he said, I want you to go back. I want you to go back. God has a desire for us to be in our place of happiness and peace. And so in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 1, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the place, name of that place, Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Lebanon and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in his sight. So he's making a plan to go back where God wants him to be. Are you where God wants you to be this morning? Are you in a land of joy and pleasure and happiness? Or because of bitterness of some problem with some person, he's separated from that. God says he wants Jacob to go back. I believe God wants you to go back today. We're talking about gaining about this much in godliness. Just a little bit, which can make a lot. A little is a lot with God. In verse 6, and the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Now that don't sound to me like a welcoming party. And I want to preach this and make an issue, and make a point of it, that what Jacob heard and what Jacob thought in his mind was not the plan of God. When he heard about Esau coming with 400 men, he starts preparing and separating all of his people that they don't all get overcome and overwhelmed by this army that's coming to meet him. It don't sound to Jacob like he's going to be welcomed back. And I thought, how many times in life do we let something, our thoughts and our mind hinder us that we think somebody wouldn't welcome us, somebody wouldn't forgive us, somebody wouldn't make up with us in our mind, but God's already worked it out. You know, that's a hindrance sometimes, that we don't want to go ask somebody to forgive us. Well, they wouldn't accept it. There ain't no use for me to go ask. Here's Jacob. He's got to go back to the land where God wanted him to be. He's got to get things right with God. He's got to get things right with Esau. He sends a people out to meet him, and Esau's coming with 400 men. It don't sound like a welcoming party. It don't sound like it to me, but it is. How many times our mind and our hearts deceive us into thinking, well, I don't think they'd accept it, so ain't no use to me even try. I don't think we could rectify this or make up because I don't think I'll even try. That's the work of the devil. He'll tell you it won't work. God says it'll work. If God sends you, it'll work. And so here's the situation Jacob finds himself in. And I thought so many times, you know, it'd been easy for him to just turn around and say, well, I'm not going to follow the will of the Lord. But God said, I want you to go back. I want you to be back in peace. I want you to be back in harmony with your family, with your friends, with the people at work, whatever it might be. God had a plan for Jacob. He said, I'm going to make you a nation of you, and I want you to have an example that you're willing to get along and make peace. And when I thought about how Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he said he divided his people up and started putting this group here and this group here because he thought there was going to be a war in the battle. God had already settled this thing. With God, it was already settled. It just had to be settled in the heart of Jacob. It was already settled in the heart of Esau. There was already forgiveness there. And I thought about how great it is to understand that God prepares people. Over in chapter 33, and verse 1, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men, and he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids, and he put the handmaids and her children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost, and he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Reunited brothers with a division of 20 years, with a harshness and a hard feeling. I don't know when Esau got over it. I don't know how long it took. I don't have scripture. It didn't say. But I can tell you he's over it. He's let past be past and just that. He couldn't go back and change what had already happened. So he said, let's move ahead from this point on. Let's get it over. And when I read about Jacob going down to meet this brother, if you ever read the description of him, you know, it said Jacob was smooth skinned and so forth. And it said Esau was red and hairy all over, and probably a ferocious looking guy. And I thought about how God restored right there. Jacob found the joy and the peace that he had been deprived of 20 years. Now that's a long time to be deprived. I know grudges that's went longer than that. I've heard of hardships and grudges that's went longer than that. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if on this Memorial Day we could remember the forgiveness of God that he gave on the cross of Calvary to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might forgive somebody, we might let something pass, we'd go away improved about this much, or maybe about this much. And that through our improvement as individuals, we have an improved church. That we better serve God, we better do his work. A lot of times, and I realize this, sometimes I held a grudge and bitterness for 20 years. I hated my daddy for 20 years because of the way he treated us growing up. A drunk beat on us all the time. And I hated him 20 years. And I'll never forget the night I forgave him. That I came to the point with God's help that I could forgive him. And I don't mean just let it go. I mean forgive him. I speak of it today with no bitterness. And I thought, what a weight was lifted off of me. It's like they had took the mountains off my shoulders. And what a freedom I had. I was back in the land God wanted me in. I was back in the joy. I was back in the peace. I was back in the happiness because I was willing to forgive with God's help. Now, I thought about it a long time after that point, and somebody said, wasn't that very hard? Wasn't that real hard? And I remember this verse of scripture that I used when I was seeking forgiveness for my dad and for the things through life that I wanted to forgive him for. I don't know what you need to forgive today. I don't know what your problem is. And I found power and strength through God to help me forgive. God will help you today. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. Now listen to this. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. In my own ability, I didn't have the power to forgive. But by the help of God, I did it. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Would you like improvement in your life? Forgive something today. On Memorial Day, I thank God picked this sermon this day because we can always go back and say, I did that on Memorial Day. So we'll have a memory added to our list of pleasant and happy and good things in life. Amen. Seven verse for song, and I'm going to close the service out. God gives an altar call. If you'd like to come up here and pray, that'd be very welcome. You can pray where you are. You can pray in your seat. You can pray at these altars. If you've got something you'd like to get out of your life, maybe you've carried it several years. Maybe it's went on long enough in your life and you're decided to get back to the land where God plans for you to be. He's got a land of joy and peace and happiness, promised land, amen, for each and every one of us. And you're thinking, I need the strength. God's going to give you that strength. God's going to give you that courage. You're going to let it go. Somebody need to pray, just come on up. Go ahead. Just let them play just a minute. We're just letting God work, giving Him time to work in your life, to realize that I can't pray around that anymore. I've avoided the subject as long as I'm going to, and I'm going to bring it out today. Okay, God, I'm asking You to forgive me. Now I'm going to enter that land of joy and peace and happiness that God promises. This is things that can rob that from you. Go away a little bit better today. Say, okay, God, we've got this straight now. And I can rejoice in the fact that You've forgiven me, I've forgiven them, and I'll be forgiven. Amen. So anybody else need to come and pray, just come on. Anybody want to join the church today, come on up. Whatever you need, God could handle it. Whatever the need might be. Amen. 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 He said, listen to the song, God's Never Wrong. And he said, you have to learn to forgive others. And it starts, you have to forgive yourself. Amen. 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 Anything else? Amen. Pray for Jesse. Amen, Brother Glenn. Amen. I don't see nobody falling out in the hallway, so you're probably going to be okay. I didn't see nobody rushing, knocking the door down, so I believe you're all right there, Brother Glenn. Praise the Lord, but that's the way we ought to be. That's the way we ought to be, considerate of one another, loving one another, forgiving one another. That's what makes us Christians. That's what makes us strong and find the happiness and joy. Praise the Lord. Good to see everybody come out this morning. If we'd had all of our traveling folks here, we'd have a house full, wouldn't we? On Memorial Day, that's good. So y'all be careful this weekend. You know, this is a big weekend, and I don't have to tell everybody. I've done saw it. You've already saw it. People carrying so much beer out, they can't hardly walk with it. Watch out for drunk drivers. Before you pull out, look the third time. Amen. I'm plain about that. They'll kill you.
Amen.
They'll kill you. They'll hurt you. Everybody be very aware, very careful of what you're doing. Now, I wasn't talking to y'all. I ain't expecting y'all to be carrying it out with armloads. I'm talking about, but you know the group I am talking about. And they will have no respect for nobody. I mean, by tomorrow afternoon, and they've had their parties and they're drinking all day, they'll kill you, they'll hurt you, they'll run over you. You look the second, you look the third time. You be careful on these holiday weekends. I love the holidays, but I hate that part of it.
Amen.
I hate that part of it. All right, any other word? Good to have all the folks visiting with us. Got some people just moving in the mountain and just moving in, and y'all can talk to them. And roller coaster ride with God. That sounds interesting. Amen. Let's stay on a high point. Be nice with it. Any word, anything else? Anyone? Amen. Amen. Pray for that need. Any others? Anyone else? Greg dismisses the prayer, please.